Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I buried my glasses too deep. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord to worship God with you. Falls my lot to preach the Word of God. And I love preaching, whether I'm preaching it or whether I'm listening to it, because it is the most awesome thing, because it is by the preached Word that I can get faith enough to be saved. Because I don't have faith without this book. I don't have faith without the Word of God being preached in my hearing. So I thank God for the preached Word of God. Brother, if you can help me with the reading, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, and I'll let you be seated after we read this little quick scripture. It's found in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I want to bring your attention especially to that first part, where it says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, but especially this, at the last trump. At the last trump. Ironically enough, I want to preach to you on the first trump. The first trumpet. Brother Watson, would you pray for us?
Lord, we thank you today, God, for your grace and your mercy and your kindness. Lord, we ask you now that you would unlock the lips of clay, Jesus. God, and Lord, our ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church.
Oh, God, in Jesus' name.
Praise and glory. Lord, fill somebody with the Holy Ghost.
Fill somebody today.
Heal somebody, Father. Set somebody free.
Yes, oh God. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless you, and you may be seated. I want to preach again about the first trumpet. If you'll turn with me in the book of Isaiah, if you have your Bible, Isaiah 58 and 1. We just read a moment ago about there's coming a day when there is a last trump that is going to sound. And we are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we are going to put on immortality, praise God. But there is a first trump that has taken place many, many years ago that I want to preach about today. And that trumpet is the most important thing that you and I need to appreciate and grasp and love and be thankful for. And that is in the book of Isaiah 58. It says this, 58:1, it says, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show thy people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. You see, for so long there has been the watchman. I said there has been a watchman. There has been a preached word of God. It goes all the way back to the days of the watchman and beyond, that the Word of God was used and to instruct and to teach. But not only that, but there was a watchman that was there to proclaim out loud when something is to be concerned about, when there's something that needs to be brought to attention, if there's sin in the house, if there's something that's not right. The man of God was instructed, cry aloud and spare not. Don't whisper it. Don't keep it low. Don't allow yourself to, come on now, don't allow yourself to be intimidated by the hour. Don't allow yourself to be intimidated by the day, but cry aloud and spare not. Praise God. That is the first trumpet, praise God. And the trumpet still blows. I'm here to tell you today that the trumpet is still blaring.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Going to come a last trumpet one day. But Brother Miles, while the trumpet is yet to play, the trumpet has been sounding for so long, the sound of warning and the sound of the and the warning about what's going to come.
About
the judgment is going to come one day, but it will fall on this earth. But I'm here to tell you that if you'll heed the voice of God, you can get to a place of safety. You can get to a place that you will be saved. You can get to a place where you'll find mercy and grace. But you got to hear the voice. You got to hear the voice that's represented by the trumpet. I thank God for the trumpet of the word of God that's found in preaching.
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look at rather Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation chapter 8. Brother, get me Ezekiel 33 and 1. Revelation chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God to give them seven trumpets. And another angel stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it to the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, upon that which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up of the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar. Oh, we need a fire today. I'm telling you, we need the kind of services that we've had of late when the power of God falls, because we need the fire from the altar to never go out. I said it was told it was to never, ever go out. And it must not go out. We must be diligent about keeping the fire burning. Hallelujah. And it cast it upon the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, and it was where a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea that had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and the part of the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the fifth of the third part of the sun was split, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, and the third part of them that was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. These are just three of the trumpets that will be sounded. And this is the time that we are talking about, that none of us want to have to see, and no one has to live through that. Praise God. But the Bible gives a warning, whether you want to see it or want to think about it or want to that to be a reality, it is still the true Word of God. And the Word of God warns us and shows us what is to come.
Amen.
And what we have standing between us, Brother Knowles, between all the things that could befall us that are evil, that are pertaining to what's been read in the Word of God, is a trumpet blast that has been played for a long time.
Amen.
A trumpet blast that says, you better get your house in order. You better get yourself to an altar. You better get yourself repented in your sins. You better get yourself baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you better receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because that's what's going to save you. Modern religiosity will not save you. Saying, I accept Jesus. Jesus Christ is my personal Savior will not save
Amen.
You.
Amen.
I heard an apostolic preacher the other day make reference, and I know he wasn't teaching in his doctrine to teach that a person should accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but the way that he said it was though he used was in agreement that is a stepping stone in salvation. I don't believe that. There's nothing in this Bible that says anything about shaking a preacher's hand. There's nothing in this book that says if you just repeat after me and repeat these words, if you'll accept Jesus as your personal Savior, that's not in the book, my friend. There's nothing in that book, but there is repentance taught in the book. What does it mean to repent? It means to not only be sorry, because some people get the two mixed up when they have godly sorrow. Actually, the Bible says godly sorrow leads you to repentance. It leads you to say, I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to live a different life. You see, when you come to God to have true repentance, you've got to do an about face. You've got to go a different direction. You've got to go a different way than the way you used to live. It's not enough to be sorry that you stole something. You cannot steal anymore. You have to say, I'm going to turn my back on that. But here's where grace steps in. Grace knows that in your flesh you will sin. Grace knows that you will falter. But when you turn yourself toward God, God will lead you. And then you get baptized in Jesus' name. And just as on the Red Sea, and when Israel was separated, the Red Sea represented that great separation. Because when they stepped into those waters, represented a baptism, and they began to walk on that dry ground, and God caused the waters to fall in between, or rather upon the Egyptians, and it buried their past. Let me tell you something. If you're going to walk in newness of life, you need something to destroy all the Egyptians and the past in your life. You can't do it in your own. You can't do it without it being delivered from the past, because the past will draw you back.
Come on.
I got a son that's doing fairly well. At least financially, he's doing real well. But if you knew something about his past, Brother Brown, my son got in church. He called us one day. He was not living for God. And I think about what God has done for that boy. He said, Dad, I think I've taken about every drug there is to take. And he was brought in an apostolic home. He was one time filled with the Holy Ghost when he was real young, but he got into the wrong crowd. He got into all that mess. He got into a certain kind of a lifestyle as far as hanging with his buddies. And he got to riding with, nothing wrong with riding motorcycles, but all of his buddies were motorcycle riders. And they all hung together. They all did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, Brother Knowles, he calls and says, can we move in? We said, we'll tell you what, if you move in, you got to go to church.
Come on.
Yeah. We'll give you a chance to recover out of your problems and get stable, but you got to commit to coming to church, or we're going to say no.
Amen.
And he agreed. He said, okay. Well, he comes to church, and lo and behold, the goodness of God. God gets to moving. The Holy Ghost gets to moving. He goes up to that altar and he lifts his hands up, and God beautifully refilled him with the power of the Holy Ghost. Now he has a power. Now he has a power to say no to sin where he didn't have that power before.
Amen. Come on.
But here's his problem.
Come on.
He's got one problem. He was having a problem getting reestablished, because all of his friends kept pulling him back. You could tell it. He'd make a step forward for God and make two steps back, because his friends influenced him and caused him to lose ground with God.
Come on.
And I had a hard time getting through to him, but I would tell him, I said, son, You've got to be able, if you're going to live for God, you've got to be able to cut off and separate the past. The past cannot have a hold on you. And the reason that we have this salvation, the way that we have this salvation, is because waters of baptism separate us from the past. It's washed away. It's taken care of. Hallelujah. And the past is washed away. But you've got to walk in newness of life. And you've got to have the ability to say, I'm walking in truth. Repentance. The past is behind me. I'm sorry, friend of mine. I don't have anything against you, but you're in my past. You're in the rear view mirror. I'm moving toward God. I'm moving toward what God wants. I'm moving toward trying to be saved. And I'm leaving the past behind.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm talking about a trumpet of truth in our life that is blaring, hallelujah, the warnings. Praise God. But all of these judgments, now read for me Ezekiel 33:1.
Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand.
All right, stop right there. Praise God. But I want you to notice something key here. In the very first part, read it one more time from the top, just the first couple verses again.
Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword.
That's it right there. When I, not when the enemy comes in, not when the enemy attacks you, but when I bring the sword upon the land, it's time to recognize that God does send judgment.
Yes, He does.
And so what does He do? He says, hey, I've got to have a watchman. Watchman, I'm going to require the blood. If you do not lift up your voice, if you do not cry, if you do not weep, if you do not tell people about where the judgment is coming from and how the judgment is coming, I'm going to require their blood at your hands. And so we have today this beautiful opportunity. Why? Because God called sent preachers to preach in a pulpit and say to you, hey, don't you see I'm playing the trumpet as an awareness to you that there's a danger to be shunned. There are things that are coming your way. There's a danger. You must get ready. You must ready yourself for what is coming. After hearing this pulpit, find myself so often when I preach to you, I find myself compelled in the spirit to lift up my voice in the trumpet and say, do you not see? Can you not see what is taking place? There is a sword that judgment is coming on this earth, and we must save ourselves, as was said by Peter, save yourself from this untoward generation.
Amen.
You're going to have to save yourself by heeding the flaring trumpet, the first trumpet.
Amen.
That trumpet that sounded long ago, that same trumpet that you were saved by, come on, the same trumpet that you were saved by, that warned you of the wrath to come, you're going to have to heed that same trumpet now. If you want to avoid what's coming down the road, you're going to have to heed the voice of the trumpet of the preached word of God. You need to pray for your preacher. You need to pray.
pastor. You need to pray. You need to say, God, I need your trumpet to blow strong and loud in this last day.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. There's just something about the trumpet. It's different from any other instrument. God has specifically used, of all the instruments that He could have used, God has specifically used the trumpet. The uniqueness of the trumpet, while other instruments bring to us a mellowness of the soul. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. The trumpet, on the other hand, is just different. Come on now.
Amen.
Get with me today.
Amen.
I like to, when I want to be mellowed out. When I want to be smooth.
Yeah.
I put on that saxophone. And that runs of that saxophone, boy, that just like, that's soothing. I like it.
Amen.
That sounds so good.
Amen.
And other times, you know what I'm talking about.
Come on.
Sometimes when we like to hear that just beautiful strumming of an acoustic guitar, it's just something about that particular instrument. Boy, it's just soothing.
That's right.
Come on now. There are instruments out there that, man, you talk about you want to relax, man, you just close your eyes and won't be long, you'll be asleep.
Amen.
Now, Saul had a bad spirit that was upon him. Isn't it interesting that it was the harp? It was the harp played by David that could somehow cause all those bad spirits to hush their mouth and leave him alone. Listen, I'm thankful today that we can come into the house of God. We can get ourselves secured away from the world, and we can begin to hear the piano play and the organ play and the guitar play and the drum play, and it's something that brings the presence of the Lord inside the house. It brings a soothing pleasure. It brings a soothingness to the soul, just like it did for him.
Amen.
And he was in sin.
Amen.
And we're trying to live for God. It did it for him. How much more do you think it does it for me? When I hear that piano play that note and I begin to sing with it, hallelujah, and I thank God for you, sister. Sister, I appreciate you playing the organ. Something about that thing is soothing. It sounds wonderful. But oh, there's something about that trumpet. I said there's something about that trumpet. Oh, that clear note, that word of God that tells me which way to go and what to do. Come on now, I said, tells me what to do. I thank God for the rest of it. But I need the trumpet. I need the trumpet. I need the clarity.
Amen.
Of the trumpet and the word of God. For as much as these things do for me and help me and bless me and bring me into the presence of God, they do not give me direction.
Amen.
They just don't. They inspire me. Mm-hmm. I've been in worship services where God gave me a message to preach. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you probably have too. But it was more, the Word of God came to you, and that was the entrance way, than rather than being the actual thing that gave you the message. It was the music, all the other instruments was the entrance way, but it was the trumpet of the Word of God that gave you clarity. And you said, I got to get in that pulpit and I've got to preach to them the Word of God. It was the trumpet and the clarity of the trumpet.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians. Listen, hold yourself there. We might come back to it. But 1 Corinthians says this in chapter 14. Verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, I'm here to tell you that it is the business of the devil to try to muddy up the There cannot be an uncertain sound. It has to be a certain sound for us to know what's going on. We've got to have the preached word of God. It cannot be muddled with the world. It cannot be muddled with carnality. Amen. It cannot be muddled, come on now, it Amen. Cannot be muddled by man's opinion. Amen. Man's opinion has no regard to what God is trying to do.
Amen.
It will muddy the waters. It will muddle it up. And you will not get clarity. You must have clarity that comes out of this. I would rather be wrong and God have us corrected because we needed correction, but we were giving at least a certain sound.
Amen.
Than to have somebody say this over here, somebody else come up and say something different.
Amen.
And the people's going, what do we know? What do we believe?
Yep.
How can we prepare to battle if there's not a certain direction and a certain sound?
Amen.
The trumpet has to have clarity. Praise God. There's just something about that trumpet. I love it. I want to say something, tell you a little something that relates to me. Maybe the real reason I tell you this, not trying to lift up, certainly not trying to lift up sports or athletics or anything like that, but just because I've experienced it, I'll relate it to you. Because I've experienced it personally. Where I come from, University of Georgia takes their fight song. And out of their fight song comes from a very familiar song that we would sing. We don't sing it much, but we love the song, I'm sure. And it's the battle hymn of the Republic. So they do something that's kind of every college, they always have their little traditions, right? So the tradition is they have one trumpeter in the corner of the end zone. And that trumpeter will just begin to play the very first part of that song. It goes, mine eyes, you can hear the trumpet in this, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Let me tell you something. You don't have to like football. You don't have to like sports. You don't have to like any of that. To have the hairs come up if you know anything about God and His truth is marching on. You don't have to have any of that but feel something in your soul. And there's just something about that trumpet sound. And it gives that beautiful clarity. And that tells me something. That one trumpet in the midst of a 90,000 something people. And that one trumpet, and you'll get chills just listening to, my eyes have seen the glory. Because you see, you can separate it from the sports part.
Amen. Amen.
And say, my God, it's true. Your truth is marching on. And you know why His truth is marching on? Because His trumpet is still sounding. I said the truth is still being preached. You might get discouraged. You might not agree with everything, but His truth is still marching on, Sister Linda. His truth is still marching on. Somebody's going to stand in that pulpit and they're going to preach the unadulterated word of God. And I love the clarity of the sound of the trumpet. I love all the instruments, but hey, at the end of the day, give me that trumpet. There's just something about that trumpet. And my Bible tells me one of these things. At the last trump. At the last trump. Hallelujah. You're going to hear that trumpet blow. It's going to be over. In terms of our mortality, our fight, our struggle is going to end with the sound of that trumpet. So I will pleasure and joy at the sound of that trumpet. Praise God. Praise God. Such a unique thing. Praise God. 2 Chronicles. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'll try not to go too much more. Second Chronicles chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, you're going to like this, I think. had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and
consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Wouldn't you love to have been there? Wouldn't it have been awesome to see?
Yes.
I love verse 2. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Let me tell you something. As much as I love preaching, I love His glory more.
Amen.
As much as I love the trumpet and to hear the man of God, I love His presence more. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen. That had to take a while. And 120,000 sheep. And you complain because we go past 1 o'clock. Just kidding, I've never heard of that. But can you imagine how long that service went on in the celebration and dedication of the temple? They was there a while. Praise God.
Amen.
And the priests waited on their offices. The Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king... Come on, can you put yourself there? Can you put yourself there? David the king made to praise the Lord because His mercy endured forever. I can just imagine the glory and the excellence of that music.
Yeah.
You know they were highly skilled. Come on. You know they were talented. You know that that place sounded awesome to hear the praises that were going on in the house of God. But there he sat, listening. Oh God, You're so great. Oh God, You're so awesome. There's nothing like this. This is amazing. This is amazing. This is amazing. When David praised, Father, go back a little bit, of which David the king had made to praise the Lord because His mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests, watch this, and the priests sounded trumpets before them.
Yeah.
In the midst of all of this beautiful, music and praise, the Bible said they sounded trumpets. But watch what happened. And all Israel stood. You're not getting this. I said you are not getting this. They sat through hours of worship and praise and majesty to God. But when the trumpets sounded, they all in unison got one person in all of Israel kept their seat.
Come on.
They all stood.
Come on.
At the sound of the trumpets.
Yes.
Come on, if we can get into our spirits this same kind of determination that when preaching is going on, we may not be standing on our feet, but we are standing in our spirit. We are standing in our spirit, giving honor to God. If you cannot or will not stand with your feet, you can stand in your spirit. And that's what they did to God. Oh, what a sight it had to be when the trumpet sounded and they all stirred to their feet.
Yes.
Oh God, I long for the day that we truly understand and appreciate the foolishness of preaching. Represent understanding this. It is God's voice to us. I said it is God's intimate voice to us. That trumpet was better than all the other things. It was better than the sound of the buzzer. It was better than the sound of the organs. It was better than the sounds of the harp. That clarity of God's Word was represented by the blaring and the sounding of that trumpet.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I heard Brother Arnold say one time, and I've really come to believe it more and more as I live, especially more as I preach. You can say you have a revelation, but if you don't worship in the revelation, you really don't have a revelation. But if you worship in the revelation, that's why I need your preaching. I need preaching. I need preachers to preach. I need the revelation of the Word of God. I need instruction. I need direction. I need help. I need to know what to do. I'm in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation that's telling me everything but truth. And I need to hear the voice of God. I need the clarity of the trumpet. Come on, stand to your feet. I need the clarity of the trumpet. I need the clarity of a certain sound that helps me know how to go to battle. How should I pray? How should I sing? You see, the one thing about the Word of God, it will identify sin.
Amen.
It will identify the enemy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says, know those that labor among you. You better know they got it.
Amen.
I thank God for this man. He's not going to put just anybody in the pulpit.
Amen.
But I'm here to tell you, we live in a world that says, give me that melodic sounds of the heart.
Amen.
Just soothe my soul.
Yes.
Let me just hear the beautiful saxophone as that thing just sounds down the run. It just sounds so beautiful in my ear. It tickles my ear.
Yes.
Come on, that sound, I love it. That tickles my ear. I like it.
Come on.
I like to hear the flute and all these different instruments. Isn't it amazing? You'll find that above all of these instruments, the trumpet is the most lasting. You ever hear somebody that can hold a long trumpet sound? There is something that where somebody will play one note and hold, if they've got lungs enough to hold that note out, there's something about it that will inspire you. Brother Brown, I can't even put my finger on it to adequately describe. There's just something about the trumpet.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to elevate an instrument because I like the trumpet, which I do. But I'm trying to illustrate more than an instrument. I'm trying to highlight the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. Because it's the only thing that's going to save us from the watching. It's what's separating us from the trumpets that are going to sound. The seven trumpets that are going to sound. There's one trumpet above all. I said there's one trumpet that sounds above it all. And I'm telling you, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name and you haven't gotten the Holy Ghost, you need to hear the trumpet bring you the warning that you only have so much time to be saved.
Amen.
It's not time to be disinterested in preaching.
Amen.
It's not time to be checking our watch. It's not time to be looking into other people's ministry that don't preach the truth.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I get so disturbed when I see apostolics want to turn on Andy Stanley or somebody like that. My God, do you think I want to listen to those guys that don't proclaim the truth?
Amen.
I ain't got time for them.
Yeah.
You've been named the best ones out there oratory-wise, and I do not have time for them.
Yeah.
If you will not declare the whole counsel of God.
Yeah.
I get so mad at my family sometimes, but I don't want to say anything to them to let them know I'm mad. But I get a little irritated when I say, how many of you heard so and so? They're really good.
I'm thinking,
my God.
Really?
All of the apostolic preaching that you can go to YouTube or any other source to listen to the preached Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God. And you want to tell me about some preacher that's not even an apostolic true proclaimer?
God,
I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. I'm sorry. I'm sure they're a good orator. They preach circles probably around me. I do not care.
Amen.
I want this trumpet, and that's all I care about is this clarity of this trumpet.
I want this trumpet in Jesus' name. Lord bless you.
Hey, glory.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
That's it, Brother Mark.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Give me a
man of God that is not afraid to blow the trumpet.
Hallelujah.
Give me a man of God that's not afraid that
in the man of God that won't back up on that book.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Many are backing up on it today.
Come on, Christ.
They're backing up on the book. And I'm not talking about churches out, the Trinity churches or whatever. I'm talking about apostolic churches are backing up on the Word of God.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. If it took it 30 years ago, it still takes it today.
Amen.
This thing, we need to understand, this thing didn't start at Azusa Street.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. It didn't start at Azusa Street. This thing started way back in the time. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, there's preachers out there that can preach. They can preach soothing messages. I know some that can quote the Bible from front cover to back cover. I would just like to see a little bit of anointing behind it when I see them quote it. Amen. It's one thing to quote it. It's another to live it.
Amen.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
Amen.
I said it's another to live it.
Yes, it is.
Not everybody can live it, but not everybody lives it.
Right.
Amen. Thank God for the Word of God today.
So
the trumpet has been blown today.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Amen. Are you going to accept it or are you going to reject it?
Amen.
It's up to you. You know, I never beg nobody to come. I'm not going to beg nobody to come to the altar. I'm not going to beg nobody to pray. Now I'm telling you, if it's ever a time that America ever fell on her knees and began to cry out to God, this day I would have been living in. Amen. I got children that are dying and going to hell. I got some that they said, Papa, you want to get something to eat? I said, I can't eat. They said, why are you not eating today? I said, no, I'm not eating today. Why are you not eating? I said, I'd rather not just say it. What, tell me why you ain't eating. I said, because I'm fasting and praying for you.
Yeah.
You know the response I got? You don't need to fast and pray for me. You don't need to fast and pray for me. My God, I just realized I need to pray for you more than I ever did. I need to pray for you more than I ever have. Amen. We're living at the end of this thing. When that last trump blows, don't think you're going to be able to be saved after that. But when that last trump blows, it is over. It's all over but the crying, baby. It's all over but the crying. Amen. Seek God while they may be found. The Bible said there'll come a day they'll cry out for the rocks to fall on.
Amen.
It's time to pray. Time to seek the face of God. Amen. Not for only you, but for your children and your children's children. Amen. Blow the trumpet. Brother Morris, I don't want to stand before God and say, these folks' blood is on your hand. Because you didn't sound the trumpet. You didn't give a sounding that they needed to hear. There's a lot of sounding trumpets today, but they're not sounding the trumpet. They're sounding something like the flute or something. They're not sounding the trumpet. God help us. God help us. Can somebody say, God help us? God help us today. Thank you for the Word of God.
Lord, I love you.
Amen.
I love you.
Glory to
God.
Glory to God. Glory to
God.
Yes.
In the name
of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We want to say again today, it's so good to have Brother and Sister Kirby with us. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all need the Holy Ghost in here, and y'all need to be up here today. The trumpet sounded, it's up to you. Amen. Somebody need the Holy Ghost. Somebody need to be baptized. Folks need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the hour to get baptized. We ought to be baptizing somebody every week, Brother David. You hear me? I said we ought to be baptizing somebody every week. Every week somebody ought to be getting the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah.
Jesus.